Here's Mary Ellen Angelscribe, author of Expect Miracles, with a Miracle Minute.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. Have you ever had those times when you really wonder what all this metaphysical talk is really about? And you wonder, really, what was I thinking? What was I thinking when I said I'd do Earth? Some days I think we really wonder that, and lately it's really been a theme wherever I seem to turn with my clients. You know, they really want to know, why am I here? What was I thinking? What is all this Earth life about? And is there any way that the contract was mistakenly written? And what is my path? I hear that question all the time of late. And I think as energy, spiritual energy changes, it's become a really daunting, overwhelmingly need for people to say, what is my life path? Sometimes I really get the feeling that people just want me to give them a really good airy-fairy answer that they have come to save the world and give them a label. And the truth is, the path is about so many amazing things. And when we're up there and we're on the other side and we're called to God's office, I think it's kind of overwhelming to, you know, think about. You know, I don't think it's an accident. We're called, say we're on the other side in the cosmic other world, whatever that happens to look like to you according to your belief system, and you get the call from your guardian angel to go to God's office, that God, Goddess, all that is office, to have a little talk with you. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi!
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know if my mother has any messages for me. She passed on 3 years ago.
Okay. If we're going to questions right away, the one thing I will ask you is to please give me your name and where you're calling from, hon.
My name is Elaine. I'm calling from New Jersey.
And how I need to do this to contact your mother, I need your mother's first name, hon.
I mean, if you're a psychic, wouldn't you know her first name?
Not necessarily, hon. There's 33 billion million souls out there.
Okay.
And a name has an energy attached to it. And especially when I'm on a radio, I'm not on one-on-one. I haven't gone to prayer with you. And how I connect and how one works is individually. It's not just 1-800-ANY-SOUL. So there has to be a spiritual connection. So all I need is her first name to see if I can get anything.
Okay, her first name is Aliyah. A-L-I-A.
I have to be honest with you. Right now, I do not have a connection to her, hon.
You don't have any connection?
It is a permission thing, and sometimes they're busy. I can't help. I'm sorry,
okay,
hon.
Okay, I have another question. Can I maybe
you certainly can.
Okay, I'm having some vandalization of my property, and I'd like to know who cut our clothesline twice, and somebody put nails at the foot of our driveway. Is it who I think it is?
I actually think it's not who you think it is, actually. I feel like it's someone else that's connected to that person.
Well, I feel it's a neighbor.
I know, but I don't think it's a neighbor. I think it's actually someone that's connected to that neighbor who's got involved in this thing, this confusion over what's going on between you guys. And so I don't get to blame the actual neighbor. I think it's actually someone he knows that's kind of got mixed up into this.
Someone he knows? What, you mean he would tell somebody to harm us, in other words?
No, sometimes you can be griping about somebody. You know, all of us are guilty about griping about someone else that's, you know, in the mix in our life that we might not be very happy about. And sometimes our friends get in the mix of that, and they don't have all the facts, and that's what's gone on here.
In other words, you think a friend of the neighbor?
It's actually someone he knows.
Mm-hmm.
Someone he knows.
I don't know. It doesn't have to bring the truth. Doesn't sound, I don't know.
I can only give you what I get. Bless your heart, hon.
Okay,
hope that helps
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. I'm going to ask everybody who's listening today to wait till half past to call in. I usually take my calls at half past the hour. If you want a reading, you want a little, or you have some questions or something in the show rings true to you, because I'd like to use the first half hour to teach and to work about spiritual things. So back to where I was. We're on the other side, and we've just been called into God, Goddess, all that is His office with our angels, or our guides, or our masters. It could be our loved one, someone that we've known in a past life, if you believe in reincarnation, and you're there and God has a little talk with you and says, okay, you've been hanging around the cosmic spiritual world for, say, 200 years, could be 50 years, and so now you're ready for an adventure. You're ready for the next level of advancement in your spiritual development, and you've been hanging out in the cosmic library, doing research. You've been watching different planets, different places, different dimensions, and you decided that you would really love to come to Earth again, that you'd like to experience that. So here you are in the cosmic office talking over your Akashic records and really deciding what you think you want to do. And you have angels that are with you. You have the person who's the creator, the infinite intelligence. And so you're talking your game plan of what you will choose to help evolve your soul, because our soul is constantly evolving. And it's an ongoing achievement or advancement. We evolve when we're not on this plane, when we're in other dimensions, when we are in what some people would call heaven. I call it spirit world. And so you've decided to come into Earth, and so you talk about what your several last lifetimes may have involved, and you talk about where you are in your involvement. It's sort of like, you know, talking to your teacher when you're done with high school. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do when you get out in the world? And so you're having this discussion, and when you're on that side, because you're in such pure energy form, everything seems so insignificant. It seems so easy. Okay, sure, send me to Earth, God. Give me an assignment. I'll go down there. I'll help change the world. And on the side of that plate, I'd like some past life stuff I want to work out and sure pile on some more veggies, right? And so you decide all these things, and then you know, God, Spirit start talking about, okay, you got to go back, and you're going to go in, you know, you're going to go in a small form. You're going to go there, be born, and be, you know, raised again. So you might want to look at what your parents look like. Are you going to finish some karma with your parents you've had in other lifetimes? Or are you going to get a brand new set? Are you going to go down to rescue someone else to help give them the opportunity to make different choices? What is going to be on that cosmic plate of yours? So you make all those decisions. Then you get sent down the chute, right, as a new soul into this dimension. And you come in, and all of a sudden, all those senses, all those things that have been at your beck and call in that spirit world, you're sensing, knowing, you're intuit, your ability to go to any subject in the whole universe is limited by your physical new beingness. And you come in, no wonder we come in screaming. I'd be screaming with my lungs loudly. What was I thinking? You know, you get here, you're in a strange environment, you have all of a sudden have cosmic amnesia. You can't remember why you came here, you don't remember what the mission was, you can't even remember who these people are and why they're in your vicinity, and what am I doing being this wet, crying little thing that has absolutely no control? And yet, I'm a 30,000-year-old soul in a, you know, newborn body. So coming in here and deciding what we're going to do and what it's all going to look like is going to be very interesting. And from the time we get here, from the time we're born, we're still actually pretty much in communication with our angels. We're still pretty aware of our spiritual connection. And we're crying out with our mind, that thing that is so incredible, our mind, our spiritual connection and our mind connection is still there. So our angels are all around us saying, just calm down, you know, take a breath, and we're going to talk you through this. We're going to keep talking to you about, okay, it's okay, remember these people, you picked them, remember you have some things you promised you'd work out with this family, your birth family that you chose, perhaps, and they're saying you're here for a reason, you know, remember the mission. And they're talking to us all that time, that we're in that infant state, that we can't quite figure out what it is. And they're there coaching us. They're saying, remember how to use your senses. Remember your sense of smell. Remember your sense of taste. Oh, that baby food's so good. Remember that sense of feeling and knowing who it's safe to be held by, who's your mom, who's your dad, that sense of love. And all the time they're pouring spiritual love into us. And we're there sensing and hearing, feeling, tasting, touching. We're using and we're hearing with our ears. We're beginning to hear with our human ears, which confuses our mental state. Our mental state goes, what's this outside noise? What do you mean I can't telepathically tell her I'm hungry and I'm wet? What do you mean they don't understand me? And so as infants, we're very confused until we start listening now with our human ears, which starts to shut off our spiritual connection, because it's almost like you can't talk on two telephones at once. So we go through this metamorphosis chains of learning how to hear in this dimension and world, and learning how to communicate, learning the vocabulary, you know, that when I cry, somebody comes and checks on me and sees if I'm hungry or wet. We start all that understanding of communication. And then as we start developing, we get a little older, and we get in that verbal stage, you know, we're 3 or 4 now, and we're still in both worlds. We have a foot in both worlds. We have a foot in the etheric, still listening to our angels, our guides, our masters, talking to our invisible friends. And we are then also in the physical world trying to remember and figure out, how am I, as a 3- and 4-year-old, going to complete this mission that I've taken on to help these humans, who I call parents, to learn what I came here to help teach them? And how am I going to learn what they perhaps, if they can remember, came to teach me? How is this whole cosmic grocery list going to work out? And also, are there other people in the mix? Because often, you know, it's not just your parents you're dealing with when you're a child. It's your grandparents. It's your siblings. It's all those people that come and talk in contact with you. In that time, you think it's overwhelming when you're grown up. Trust me. You should look at it from the 5-year-old's perspective. They're desperately trying to get a handle on eye-hand coordination, get potty trained, learn the verbal commands, and still be in tune with God, Goddess, all that is, so they get their mission right, because they want to do it all. So they're working all 5 of their senses, their 6th sense of sensing knowing, their psychic sense of listening beyond this world. And then if we're very lucky, they figure out common sense pretty fast, because we need to throw that in the mix. So all of these senses are on red alert, and we're trying to still maintain an idea of the mission. As we become more verbal and more focused on trying to please the world at large, we start losing all of our sensory understanding of our connection often with spirit. And because we're really sort of tunnel-visioned entities once we get here, because now we're listening to all the sights, the sounds, the inputs, the TV, the video games, the computers, our parents, our teachers. We're very focused on the here and now, and we lose track of the bigger mission, and we get focused on mission control right in front of us, which is, how do I manage to please my parents, the teachers, learn and understand exactly what this human body is capable of? How do I function in this world? How do I understand the emotions that I feel and the thoughts that are now flooding into me by the sensory world, the world of the human, and spirit still gets in there in the mix to try and help people work through this? The good thing is that we still have out-of-body experiences. We still go home at night. So we put these little kids to bed. They go and have an out-of-body experience. They go back up to the crystal palaces and the places of learning, and they get input all night long. So they're maintaining an understanding that they're connected to the spirit world, and that that connection to that spirit world still has something in some way to do with the mission on this planet. But as we grow and get older, the connection gets more foggy. The veil gets thicker. We start disconnecting from what really truly is our real world and get very attached to our mission world. And pretty soon we're sort of lost in the mundania of humanness, and we forgot there was a mission and all. And pretty soon we're convinced that we're thrown down here, and nobody really cares a bit about what we're doing here. And dear God, I'm lost. And is there a God? And is there angels? And you know, what was I thinking? And why is it so hard? And you know, when I get the right education, life will be good. When I get the right boyfriend or girlfriend, my life will be okay. And when I get enough money. And pretty soon it's the woulda, shoulda, couldas, and if onlys. And pretty soon we haven't got a clue that there's a path or anything on it. Unless all of a sudden, in our confusion, in our despair, in our dark nights of the soul, we get a cosmic wake-up call, and it comes in many forms. It can come in the cosmic 2x form, which is my least favorite. It can be an accident, a life-threatening disease, something that's not so pleasant, a loss of some kind. It can be a loss of a job or a person. Or we can get the little shove from a spirit guide that says, do you remember me? Remember that, you know, how it could be. Remember perhaps you get an illumination where you are in that moment of unconditional love with the Supreme Being, and you know for a moment that there is nothing better than that. And then you come back and you want more of that. So then you start going in search of. So once you get this wake-up call in some way and you start going in search of spirit in some way and you start trying to find your path, sometimes you'll find a clairvoyant, a psychic. Sometimes you'll find a book. It'll fall in your lap. You may find it through going to a class, or it may come up in a conversation with a dear friend. It may come out of a crisis. It may come out of getting a divorce, getting out of a relationship, trying to figure out why you're making the choices you're making. And so sometimes we come out of our spiritual amnesia, and we get, again, that there is a life plan, that there's some kind of purpose. And sometimes we don't know what that is. We just know, dear God, there has to be a purpose. There has to be something bigger than me and my limitedness, my 1-800 wham, life sucks. Because we get caught in, it's all about me, and I am not a happy me. And when we get to that state, then's when we start doing something about it. Because after a while, when you wallow in the pity pot or the victimhood long enough, you get tired of it. You find that you're swimming in circles and it's not so fun. And so something, you know, you will cry out at some level of your soul awareness, and you will cry out for help. And the minute you do, trust me, a flock of angels are waiting to make a difference. They're waiting with the proverbial spiritual life raft saying, what took you so long? I thought you'd never call. It's that free will call, you know, clause. You know, everybody thinks that little free will clause is only for us as humans. We get that free will clause, and we can insert it somewhere in our life, right? But the truth is, it's a free will clause. If you don't ask the angels, they can't help. And I always tell my clients, it's better if you call on them before the car's hanging on the cliff. You'll see a lot of angel specials on TV, and they're all in the umpteenth hour. You know, the car's on top of them in an accident, or they're lying in the hospital in a desperate situation before all of a sudden an angel appears. And the reason you see a lot of those kinds of scenarios is that people really sometimes don't get that, you know, they're so busy fixing everything themselves, carrying that cosmic first aid box, that they forget until they're in a really desperate, undeniable situation to realize that they better call on something bigger than themselves. They have to cry out to angels, guides, masters, God, goddess, all that is. Take that moment to go, this is bigger than me. I don't think I can get out of this one by myself. It is truly in that moment, and I hope for most of us it's not always that desperate of a situation, the cosmic 2x4. Whatever that dark night of the soul, that moment of there's something more than my humanness is when we realize and we get help, and the angels come, and we start thinking differently about our life. We start really going back to, I am spirit first, and if I'm spirit first, there's something bigger to this plan than the mundane human choices that I have often made. And when we start then going in our cosmic basement, our energy debris field, we start realizing how much is hanging out there. And when we get the wake-up call and we know we have a cosmic basement, most people don't even know they have a cosmic basement and a debris field, and if they do, they certainly don't want to clean it any more than they like cleaning their houses. But it's true, as we begin to evolve and start to clean our cosmic basement and realize our choices, because everything in life is a choice. It's a conscious choice. Most of the time we're on autopilot, and we pretend it's not a conscious choice. But truly, as spiritual beings, everything is a choice. From who you came in with as your birth parents, whether you stayed with them or not, it may look like things are out of control, but everything is divinely guided. Sometimes we don't like the choices, and sometimes we don't understand why the choices, because we don't get still enough to ask. We are very busy. You know, we get really caught at a very young age in the blame game, and often it's because we're learning the belief systems of other people. You know, and as we evolve, as we become more spiritual, and we pay attention to belief systems, and we pay attention to what we're learning as well as teaching, we become very different entities and different parents. Often I will say to my client, you may have learned belief systems from your parents. For them, they thought they were doing absolutely the right thing for their where they were in their evolution, where they were in their time here on Earth, where they were societally, academic-wise, everything. They may have been being the very best parents they knew how. However, they may have limited your belief systems. One of the biggest things that people get limited in is their belief about abundance. For example, my mother came through. First of all, she was from Alabama, raised on a farm, cotton farm, and came from not a wealthy family, came through a depression and World War II. So guess what her mentality about money was? You have to work really hard, and it's a hard life. And so what did she teach? Me. She taught me what she knew, because that was her truth. It doesn't mean it was the right truth, but it was her truth. And so she didn't have anything else that taught her that it could be different than that. But I can learn to be different than that. I can learn that there is cosmic abundance in every moment, and I have a cosmic, universal right to that, and that I can make a different choice. I can become more educated than my mother. I can make wiser investments. Ideals. I can make better choices about how I choose to spend my money. I can make so many different choices. So how I would now today in 2007 teach abundance would be very different how my mother taught abundance in the 1960s and 70s and 80s even. And so as we evolve, so does our understanding of this universe and this choice of being a spiritual being in this moment, and how we progress as a soul. Our soul evolution is so important. And spirit really wants us to use our spirit mind versus our human mind limitations. And often my clients will say, Atira, am I on my spiritual path? I tell people, look down and see where your feet are. Wherever you are in the moment is part of your path, or you would not be there. It doesn't mean you always like where you are. And you might have to say, Dear Spirit, show me how to get out of where I am if I'm feeling stuck, if I'm in a bad marriage or a job I don't like or whatever. But one thing that's important is wherever you are in this moment in your life, to say to Spirit, Dear Spirit, show me the mission in this moment. Show me if I'm in a job I don't like, why am I there? Am I there to teach or to learn? And Spirit will answer you. And you may not like the answer at the first of it. Because sometimes they'll say you're there to learn. And then you ask, what am I there to learn? Am I there to learn patience? Am I there to learn how to be diplomatic? What is the mission within this moment in my life is one of the most important questions you can ask. Because it's how you get out of that place that you don't like so well. The minute you surrender to what is the present moment, why am I here? Why did I even get here sometimes is the question. Why did I let myself get in this position where I'm now feeling trapped? And then the answer will come of how to evolve out of that. And sometimes it's as simple as forgiving yourself for making the mess in the first place. It's the simple thing of saying, thank you for reminding me that I chose this, but now I can choose differently. We choose differently as we grow. You know, when you were a kid, you might have played tic-tac-toe, but you don't play it anymore. Why? Because you learn the cat wins. You learn that nobody can win as you become bright enough to know how to place those X's and O's. So we have to start looking at how we choose to evolve. And as I talk to different clients, and we all have a friend we know. We all have a male or female friend that we've seen date the same type of person, fall in the same traps, perhaps, dating some, you know, why do they date the same kind of person? It's like a lesson they can't quite get. They're like stuck in the loop of playing a 45. We don't play 45 records anymore. We have evolved to CDs and iPods. And so the evolution of our soul goes on, too. So when you have a bad relationship, or two, perhaps you've had two or three bad relationships, sit down and take inventory of those relationships. What's similar? What is the repeat pattern? Are you repeating alcoholics? Are you repeating fixing people? Are you repeating broken emotions, non-connective type men or women? What is the scenario that is repeated here? And then you look at, why am I attracting that? It truly is that the law of attraction works whether we're aware of it or not. So as we get back in our spirit mind, not our human limited mind, we become illuminated and we have help. You can ask your angels, guides, and masters to help you evaluate this. And the trick is we have to do our homework. We get really busy out there fixing somebody, being busy with our kids and our, you know, academics, our careers, our, you know, our family, and whatever it is out there. But the truth is, we must first fix us. Our soul is encased in this human body. We must work on our spiritual soul, our mind, our humanness, our experience. Because as I fix me, then I fix the things around me. And we give up the blame game. We give up the neediness. We give up all that facade that we convince ourselves is really running our life. And as we take personal responsibility, you know, and we come back to being one with God, Goddess, all that is, then we get back in that synchronistic flow. We get back in the communication with our spirits and our angels and our guides. And one of the ways, best ways to start doing that is by simply taking inventory. Who am I today? What do I want? What don't I want? What are my fears? Where are my weaknesses? What are my strengths? Really being honest with ourselves. Where am I alone? Where am I confused? How do I react to all these things? And where is my anger? And then we start looking at how we can get help with that. One of the most important ways is to simply ask your angels, guides, and masters how to help you with that. Start working with you. But it's a partnership. Again, how strong is your commitment to wanting to change, and how strong is your willingness to be in partnership with spirit? And how willing are you to give up the need to be right to heal? When we're in human form, we have such a funny need to be right rather than to heal or anything else. We get into such meism in the ego sense rather than the soul sense that we cause most of the upset and the brokenness and the separation and the limitation because we don't have a good working relationship with ourselves and our divine spirit. So when we come back to that innermost core relationship with ourselves, the divine spirit mind, and our connection to God, Goddess, all that is, then we come again into that sacred space, that space of grace that Jesus manifested, that Yahshua manifested, the state of grace where his healings, his wonders, all those amazing things happened. That state of grace is where we allow ourselves to heal, to change. And as that spiritual change happens, we start getting again in touch with all our senses, our sixth sense, and our common sense to then go out in the world and really make the changes and the choices. And we manifest it because we spend time hanging out with ourselves. And so one of the key things for that is to learn meditation. Because in meditation we learn to silence the ego, human limited mind. We put that little human ego limited mind somewhere in a box. Get a decorative box and put it on your desk. Allow that mind to be still for a while and go into meditation. And hang out with you. Spirit will tell you in that meditation. That's when you, you know, are quiet enough to hear beyond the ego self. And so you will get really good information. And it's important to set a time aside that you talk to your angels, guides, and masters, and God, and a time that you listen, that time that you listen within to get the answers. A lot of people, just like in real life, I mean, you know, I catch myself all the time talking at my husband, not to him. And what happens? I talk at him, and he goes, yeah, 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 you know. Then I ask him 10 minutes later, have you heard a word I said? And he goes, well, yeah, you said something about maybe this. And then he gets select hearing, right? And it's taken on a whole life of its own. And that happens to us as individuals. You know, we get into such an, well, my life is so sucky, and, you know, I have the worst job, and I don't have a good relationship, and I'm lonely, and life sucks, and I have to blame it on someone, because after all, it doesn't really have anything to do with me, right? I'm fine. Except that I don't really like myself. I have low self-esteem. But I expect the universe to figure that out. You know, I've heard that all. I mean, I've heard it all. I've been part of all of that, you know. But the truth is that it's not true. We can't be separate from ourselves and expect not to affect ourselves. It's impossible. And so as we grow in our self, in our human experience, as we go down our life path, and we, you know, we get on the road. And sometimes we're like, you know, that 16-year-old kid that gets his driver's license, and all of a sudden, mom and dad don't know anything. You know, God, Goddess, all that is, doesn't know anything. And I'm driving. So we're in the driver's seat, and we do a lot of dead ends and turnarounds. Welcome to the airwaves.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, Atira.
Good evening.
My name is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. I'm from Louisiana, and I talked to you when my husband was in a healing crisis, and I believe that the energy you sent was really, really beneficial.
Oh, bless your heart. I'm so glad.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad. Bless your heart. Good for you.
Now things have changed a lot that my husband and I are separating, and I was just wondering if the angels could give me any guidance with my son's transitional tantrums. He's 7 and a half. Obviously, there's a lot of emotions going on in the house.
Right.
But
so we're just talking about that. So we're going to talk. I'll just continue here for a minute with you.
Great.
I was just talking about dead ends, turnarounds, and kind of feeling lost. And that's kind of what you're doing, you know. You're kind of hit the dead end. Now you're making a transition. You're making conscious choices. And I also think that, you know, I know that you're in separation, but I don't think the dust is settled. Okay?
Right.
So in the midst of this, This little 7-year-old whose senses are turned on red alert, what about me, what about me? Because
right.
You guys are really trying to sort out what about you, what about you?
Right.
And all the details of, you know, separating and changing the dynamics of your relationship is he's feeling the emotional roller coaster. So one
right.
of the things you can do with a 7-year-old is talk to him and say, you know what is going on with Dad and me will affect you, and we're going to keep you in the loop. But it's not because of you. Two different things. Okay?
Okay.
And a 7-year-old gets it. You didn't cause this, that
right.
needs to be said to him, but it will affect you. And let's talk about how you, as a 7-year-old, want this to look. And the first thing he's going to say, of course, is he probably wants it back like it was. But you have to talk about that's not possible. And they understand that. Just say, you know, these dynamics are changing. But the most important thing is to help him understand he's still loved.
Okay.
Because in the confusion of all this, of you guys kind of going through your not loving anymore, he thinks that means that he isn't going to be either. So he needs to, you guys need to be adult about this. This can be a we're just done thing, you know. It's not about the blame game, but about we're done. And if you can go to that part and talk to, you know, the 7-year-old, the acting out stuff will quit happening. And some of this you can talk to him about, and some of it you have to talk to the angels about.
Okay.
So I would go in meditation first, Kim, and I would talk to the angels and ask them to start working with him. So, 'cause he's on flight or fright. He doesn't know where to stand.
Yeah.
So, and so he feeds off, you know, when you're having a bad day, it makes it worse. Sorry, hon.
Right.
So that's what you need to do. So talk about how can we give him a safe space to land, okay? And to know that he's not going to be cut off on either side yet. There's going to be dynamical changes. But somehow you as adults need to say, what can we give him as an olive branch to hang on to?
Okay.
Yeah, cosmic responsibility sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. Yeah, because you and him have chosen to be solely responsible for this young soul coming in.
Right.
So you got to figure out how that life raft for him is going to look, so he won't be in this. Part of it is as easy, really, truly, is asking the angels to help, and you haven't done that yet because you've been on the watershed of good and stuff. It's okay. Part of it. Yeah. Being a mom and dad, hard work, guys. Hard job.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but it's going to be good. It's going to be better than you think, and he will calm down. I also feel like there's some kind of choice about his school, so is he changing schools as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's like the whole rug's pulled out from under him. So I would talk. I would sit down and let him and say, what do you want this new school to look like? What's your biggest fear? Nobody's consulted him. He's kind of just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much.
You bet, hon. Lots and lots of blessings. We'll put him on the prayer team here, too.
Okay, thank you so
you
much.
Bet.
Have a blessed evening, Tara.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's a great example. Thank you, Kim, for calling in, because it is a great example to learn. You know, here's that whole thing we've been talking about today is Kim chose to be part of this soul's path, life path. And so this soul is choosing to teach Kim and the father to pay attention that he is not just a 7-year-old, but he is an amazing soul that needs to know what's going on. And consciously, we pick up on everything. So we become this little walking nerve end, you know. And so getting back to being able to understand that we have to, don't leave kids out of the loop. They're so much smarter than we are sometimes. You know, and they'll spew on you. They'll spew up the answer when you're pretending, you know, you don't have a clue and you're clueless in wherever you are. But the truth is that it is a time where being soul responsible for our actions and being able to help others understand that at all levels. And Kim's getting some help, too, from the angels. Don't just think that I sick the angels only on the 7-year-old. I always ask for angelic help in every aspect of every incident that goes on in my life. I never travel without them because I've learned when I do, the ditches, dead ends, and turnarounds get much bigger, and I don't like them so much. And I also don't like to have to be stuck somewhere in something that I've made for myself and mucked up and have to say, 1-800-GOD, could you come get me out of this? You know, how many times in our life have we got in a situation where we feel that we've painted ourselves into a corner, backed ourselves into something that we don't know how to get out of, whether it's a bad relation, abusive relationship, or financial things. You know, we get overwhelmed as humans very easy, and we forget to go back to the spiritual handbook. Don't you wish you came in with one? I mean, when I saw The Bishop's Wife, which is an old movie, where the angel came down and the angel had a manual, I thought that was very unfair that the angel had a manual and I didn't as a human. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hello, Tara. This is Vince in California. I'm here with my wife, Pam.
Hi, Vince. Hi, Pam.
How can I
help you today?
Well, we're going through a very large transition spiritually, both of us at the same time. Of course, that's having an effect on our kids and our entire life. And a lot of big business things going on at the same time.
Okay.
And we're just trying to learn how to work with our angels and guides on this situation. We have a lot of people telling us they were doing things, and they're you know, things aren't coming through. So we're kind of in a confused state today.
Okay. The state of confusion is right near Seattle right in this moment for you. One of the things I want to say is when I go into your energy field, the first thing I do is get sort of organized chaos. So I think you've kind of got the cosmic wake-up call, okay?
Yeah.
And now what happened is you got real busy and said, I better do something about this, but you're kind of all over the board. You need to go back to some basics, okay? And it's almost like now you're in spiritual overload, okay? So I want you to kind of pull your energy in and get focused and take the most important thing on your plate first, which appears to be sort of financial. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I want you to do is go back and say, Dear Spirit, I need you to help me with this financial issue so that I can then, you know, it'll calm down all the, it's sort of the domino effect. If you can get on the other side of the financial issue, and I feel like you guys are a little bit out on a limb, not so far it's going to break off, okay, Vince, but you're a little further out than you need to be. And
So,
the panic is kind of sitting in. So you have to put that panic on hold because that's not going to help you. And they say that, you know, some financial help is coming on the way. There's a way to rearrange the financial issue so that you're not losing everything. Okay, so take that panic off your plate. The more you can not be in panic, but know that you've already called back up and you have to let that kind of come into fruition. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're kind of making panic within a panic. See, sometimes what happens is when we call 1-800-HELP, then we kind of put it out there, but we draw it back because we still can't quite let go of control and thinking we've got to fix it too. So then we kind of get in the way of Spirit fixing it because we put the energy out and draw it back, suck it back. You went dead on me, so that means you don't understand what I say.
I think I do understand.
Do you ever say, okay, Spirit, come rescue me, but I want it to look like this, and they're saying, no, I got a better plan?
Yes.
And you're saying, no, but I have to look like what I want it because, and they're saying, if you do that, it's going to cost you more. Let's not do it that way. And you're going, yes, no, and pretty soon they let go. They go, okay, free will's cool. We'll let you have it. Free will got you in a little bit of this problem, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoops. So what I would really like you guys to go back to as a family and go back and maybe even do a prayer circle and say, you know, Dear Spirit, we know that we created this. We ask divine help in this moment, and we surrender our fear because the fear is sort of off-balancing you. And so if you can surrender the fear, and it's hard to do because, you know, when you get into the money issues, you know, that's a flight or fright for most humans, you know. There's not enough. Oh, my God. Well, the truth is, God got us all it is. Insert your favorite deal. I'm going to use God. God is never in lack of. Why? He created everything. He can't be. It's impossible. Okay? So the truth is that Spirit and God, and there's lots of ways to rescue this situation. So I'd really like you guys to go back to being at one with, you know, getting out of this situation, okay, and not being caught in the fear. Because the fear dilutes what you need.
Yeah.
Okay? And let me tell you, I feel like this. They're saying in about 7 days, some of this is going to look very different than it does now. So you don't have to have quite so much panic, okay?
Yeah. Is there a chance we got into victim mode today because this was an international hour sent last week and got messed up? Is it?
I think it's very easy to fall back in 1-800-WAN.
Yeah.
It is. Because here's the thing is, We have done human forgetfulness a lot more better than we have spiritual remembering. You know, most of us have got into that boss did it to me, my credit cards. Why did those credit card people let me get out that far? You know, all this other stuff, rather than staying in this moment. I am abundantly wealthy. In this moment, I choose to use the law of attraction. I choose to, you know, stay in my power. The minute I'll say it this way. If I told you to go to the dollar store and get a bucket, fill it with water, and every time you had a fearful thought, you poked a hole in it, how much water would be there? Whoops. And the truth is, that bucket is your physical beingness. That water is your creative force, and you're leaking it on the fears and the things you don't want, which you're manifesting very well, and you're not leaking it on, there's enough money, there's abundance, Spirit's, you know, sending me rescue. that, you know, that I am going to come out of this in the light rather than the darkness. Where light is, where love is, darkness cannot abide. Vince, spirit rule, not light. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Wonderful yeah. show for first time listening in.
Thank you so
fantastic.
Much.
Fantastic.
I hope you'll be back.
We will.
And
thank
we'll
you.
Pray for you, Vince, and your family.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Blessings, huh?
Bye-bye.
Bye. It truly is that if we can stay out of our fears, then we create really great things for ourselves. You know, just for an instance, think about what in the last week as an individual have you chose to create in great joy and love for yourself. I bet you could mention 10 things you created that weren't good in your life, that really, you know, that you didn't like, that made you in separation. You could tell me 10 or 20 bad days at the office or, you know, bad relationships or somebody didn't show up in your life or, you know, you didn't get the right whatever you wanted. But not very many people can give me the gift of what they created that gave them great joy. And Mary Ellen, don't call in because I know you do this every day. What gave you great joy? Mary Ellen Angel Scribe is the person who does my website. She's a very famous author. She has 2 books out, Expect Miracles and A Christmas Filled with Miracles. And years ago, we came up with that before 11 o'clock every day, we expect 2 miracles. And it usually happens almost every day. Sometimes they're a little late, but not too bad. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hello, Atira.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. Who am I talking to and where are you calling from?
My name is Brian. I'm calling from Indiana.
Hi, Brian from Indiana. What can we talk about today?
Well, I was just wondering if you could tell me my angels around me and if they're more feminine or masculine or maybe some spirit guides.
Well, it's interesting. When I go into your energy, I really feel like all of a sudden you have been getting really serious about hanging out with them. Okay?
Yes.
It's like I would say if talked to you last year, I wouldn't have got too much of a whisper. Yeah, so they're calling you on the carpet here. They're saying he's really just showed up in the last year, and he's getting much more responsible, and they're very excited about that. So, yay, attaboy.
I've been working on my eating habits and trying to drink more water.
Yeah, and it's important. I want to tell you while we're talking to Brian, water is really, really important because we need that for our electromagnetic energy and our connection.
And I never knew that, yeah.
And our connection and vibration to divine spirit. So the interesting thing is you have an archangel working with you, so you called in some big backup. Ariel's working with you. So you can find out more about Ariel by checking out any of Doreen Virgo's books. I'm not going to take time to talk about an archangel because there's too much good stuff written out there, you know, about it. So you called up that as a very a great connection, and it's wonderful. You also have an angel called Ahava, A-H-A-V-A, okay?
Okay.
Working with you, which is very feminine. And Ahava is one that's really came to help you work to get back on your path. They say you got a little sidetracked for a couple of years, and they're just pulling you back on your path, and a lot of things are going to open. You're kind of just, you know, sometimes you get off your path to have time to think to reflect. And so now your Ahava has got you back on your path, so she's saying, let's go. Come on. Okay, time's wasted now. So you've got a lot of work that's going to be really kind of pushing you forward. I wouldn't walk, honey. I'd run or skip, okay, because they really want you to really go forward with this. And I also see books, so there's some kind of learning or studying to come. And they also say that there might be a move, okay, because I see boxes.
Okay.
So I think you're... I'm going to probably move maybe late next year, get that opportunity to be in a little different space in everything you're doing.
Hmm.
I said also 3 columns of light, and that means to me 3 things that you're bringing back from past incarnates, and it doesn't mean just in Earth, it could be anywhere, of gifts that you're just now kind of remembering.
Yes, I'm bringing back this energy that's been flowing around me and through me. It's just amazing. Seeing a lot of flashes of purple and blue. And my hands, this past week, I looked down at my hands, and I was like, I want to see an aura around my hand. And by golly, I concentrated, looked away. And I started seeing green, this emerald green.
There you go.
My
careful what you wish for. You can get it.
Yes. And
yeah.
So I just feel
blue
like
is aerial, by the way. The cobaltish blue, that's aerial.
Then what's the purple?
The purple is actually some other angels that are working with you. That, and I'm, like I said, you got a lot of them working with you. I'm not going to name all of them.
Yes,
so call
yes,
them the
yes.
flock, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, because you really, you said, I'm ready to show up. I'm ready to do my work. And that's the thing is, you know, if you will just say, okay, dear spirit, what is my path? Show me it. And then I promise I'll show up. Then they mean it. You know, they take
yeah.
you at your word. And then you've got to, you know, get into yeah. action.
They've been showing a lot of physical manifestations, feathers and a lot of butterflies around the area and just really neat stuff.
It's a great time to be alive because spirit
is
so illuminated. It's like the energy between that dimension and this dimension has gotten more fine-tuned. So how things become illuminated is very amazing.
Yes, it is.
So,
well,
blessing.
Thank you so much, Atira.
Oh, my pleasure, Brian. You have a nice life.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It is a great time to be alive. You know, one of my clients today and I were talking about that, and because, you know, I've been talking to my guide since I was 5 years old, and so Dom and I actually were having a little discussion about this, and I was laughing. You know, there were a lot of years I spent trying to be normal. Whatever that was, I wanted it because my mother was so wanted me to be normal. And now it's like I am normal. I'm my own normal, and it's great to be me, and I can talk to Dom all I want. All I have to do is stick that little Bluetooth in my ear and have a little cosmic conversation with my guide. I think that Bluetooth is the best invention because I can talk to Dom and nobody thinks I'm crazy talking to spirit out in the world anymore. You know, it makes me look like everybody else. So it's a wonderful time to be awakened, to have that commitment and communication with your spirit guide. Don't limit it. Try this next week for fun, just even for an hour, to be in your spirit mind versus your ego, human mind, your limited mind, your smallness. Be in your limitlessness and enjoy that connection with the world that is bigger than us, the world of eternal soul growth. Next time you have an argument with that employee at work, you don't want to go to your job, get in your car and say, oh God, today I just don't want to have to go in. Say, dear spirit, show me the joy within this moment of going to that job. Pretend for a moment that you're going to the cosmic office, and instead of your mundane job, you're going to go connect with one soul that's life will be permanently changed by your very presence. Because the truth is, in every moment, we have an opportunity to change someone's life. To give a word of encouragement, a smile, a kindness. To share a wisdom. To share a compassion. And sometimes it's to receive all of those things. Sometimes we're having a bad day. So someone can say, you know how much I love you? Do you know how much you changed my world? Do you know how much in this moment you make a difference? You make a difference in every moment of every minute of the day. And it's happening whether we are aware of it. But the more you become aware of it, the more you want it, the more joyful it is, the more adventure there is. And as I was saying just before this last person called in, is Mary Ellen and I really truly made an agreement with spirit that we expected 2 miracles a day. And sometimes the miracle is happening to us, the right person calls, a synchronicity happens, and sometimes we're the miracle for someone else. And either way, it's the greatest experience, and it really makes it worth being here, worthwhile. We get out of our limitness. We call each other and say, oh, wow, you won't believe what just happened to me. And we share those experiences. Instead of, if you picked a day, one day a week, say Wednesday, rather than calling your girlfriend or your good old boyfriend and saying, oh, man, the boss was terrible, and oh, God, it was terrible. What if you made one day a week where you had to call someone and only talk about good things? I really wonder how many people do that. I mean, I know Mary Ellen and I do because we're kind of weird and strange. But really, truly, what if you made one day a week that you only talked about good things? period, end of sentence. Everything you, I mean, other than if you had a mundane job where you have to, you know, if you're in collection agency and that's your mundane job, you're probably going to have to do that anyway. But your other private time, you, every time somebody calls me, you say, hi, I'm so glad you called. I wanted to hear your voice. I wanted to tell you how you impact my life. What if you called, you know, four people and said, you know, I just called to say that I love you. I want to see how your life is. How is this moment? How can I make a difference? What do you need? Or you bring something special and unusual home in that moment to your kids, to your family. And I'm not talking about, you know, special desserts. What if you brought bubbles home and you blew bubbles and you took time to be with them in that moment of that just being childlike? You know, as we get older, we forget that kids really love it when we remember that we were kids. And they get then that you're not just the authority figure. We lose our innocence much too fast. And so I wish for you in the next week to find your child, find your soul mind, and stay in it. Don't stay in the right mind or the left mind. Stay in your soul mind and be mindful of your action. Be true to making cosmic conscious choices. Be in the moment. Find your joy. Find your peace. And when you do, share it with someone else. So until next week, remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and to remember to always be wrapped in the wings of your angels. Lots of angel blessings. Bye.
Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles and the Angels and Miracles Good Newsletter, can be found at angelscribe.com.